Yo, really quick, I wanted to say this video is inspired by Mostly True, the 7 Levels of High video. If you haven't seen it already, go check it out. And I'm not the most experienced smoker, but I generally have 3 stages of being high. The first stage is baked. At this level, you'll start to feel some of the usual effects, like having a dry mouth or dry eyes, but you're still like a normal functioning member of society. It'll make you a little bit happier than usual, make you a little bit more relaxed. But you know that voice in your head that talks whenever you think? It's like it gives that voice a microphone. Your thoughts pretty much just become louder and kind of more important in a way. But one of the major side effects that will hit you at this stage is munchies. You're gonna have the urgent desire to absolutely annihilate your cabinet. Your appetite is crazy, but all the food gets like a power up. A $2 junior chicken from McDonald's becomes a delicacy, bro. And on God, I'm not fat, but when I'm baked, I can eat like 10 of them. And that brings me to stage 2, faded. As soon as you're faded, your thoughts ascend to a different realm of thinking, bro. It's like being baked, except everything is more. Like, the munchies increase, the dry mouth gets drier, and your eyes get more red and more dry. At this point, it's like when you're at the dentist, you know, they use that little vacuum thing to suck all the like moisture out of your mouth, and then you're left like with your mouth just dry as fuck, and you're kind of just sitting there like. And if when you're baked, it's like your thoughts got a microphone, now it's like you gave your thoughts like a megaphone with big ass speakers.
I want hot Cheetos.
At this point, a lot of people get paranoid, especially if you're in a public setting, because you're just trying to act as normal as possible, but you're just not a normal functioning member of society at this point. Now, if you were going really crazy, you might make it to stage 3. And now I do have to reiterate that for stage 3 especially, this is just my experience. Now, with that being said, stage 3.
Schlumped.
Your soul and essence has fully ascended. The real world is nothing but noise. You truly and fully ascended into the astral plane. You are one with the planets. You are one with the sun. You are one with
the universe.
Now after that shit, you're probably gonna feel high for like the next week at least. Personally, I would not recommend this stage because I definitely lost some brain cells from that experience. But shit, bro, maybe there was just something else in the weed.
Every single person will have a different experience when they get high. And even the same person can have different experiences each time. It can depend on many things, like the strain of the grass, the environment you're in, and overall the type of person you are. But with that being said, I do know some of the most common types of people when they're high. Starting with Paranoid Peter. Paranoid Peter will take a few hits and his brain will go on overdrive, imagining the worst scenario he could possibly be in. And he'll just slowly convince himself that it's real.
Hey, how you doing?
Shit, he knows I'm high. He probably knows that I jaywalked last week too. Fuck, I'm going to jail for life.
Buddy, are you okay?
Fine, I'm high as hell and I illegally crossed the road last week. Next up, we got Mary with the munchies. Mary will get zooted and go ham on all the food in the vicinity. She'll have DoorDash, Skip the Dishes, Uber Eats knocking on her door like they're the IRS or something. But I'm not gonna lie, I know we've all been there. No, not with the IRS, I'm talking about the munchies. Because food when you're high simply hits different. You go from just chewing, swallowing, and digesting your food to dissecting and distinguishing each particular particle of that food. And I don't know why, but your brain never tells you if you're full. So you can just eat food infinitely. Next, we got Chill Charlie. Chill Charlie is just so laid back. Once this dude takes a puff, he is just nonchalant. And nothing in the world can make this man start chalanting.
Charlie, they found the kids in our basement.
Chill out, dude. It's all gonna be alright.
Hey, hands behind your back.
Yo, calm down. Why are you so aggressive? And of course, we got Sleepy Sam. You see, Sleepy Sam has had a long day at work. He decides what would be a better way to end the day than to light up some Bubba Kush. We can't forget about George with the giggles, man. George just be laughing at anything when he's high. And it's the best when you get 2 high Georges in a room. You could hit George with some devastating news, and there's nothing he can do but laugh. George, I'm so sorry, man. I just crashed your new Bugatti. Honestly, at this point, literally anything can make him laugh. Okay, maybe not anything. Next up, we got Mumbling Martin. Some motherfuckers just be smoking and start to think they're Cardi or something. Like, after a few hits, they start to invent a whole new language.
Dance like dick can be hit, man.
Wait, what?
I said dick can be hit, man.
Can you just speak up a little bit?
You can't hold me. You can't tell me. Speak up.
And man, we all know a coughing Carl. Yeah, bro. Can you pass me that grass?
God damn. God bless America.
We got sober Sophia. Yo, Sophia, take a hit.
No.
And what about immobilized Eric? I don't know if any of y'all have experienced this before, but sometimes Eric be smoking a little too much, and it's like his controller just disconnects. Like, wherever he smokes, he will be there in the same position for the whole night. Yo, bro, we're going home. Ain't no way Eric is still here, bruh. There has to be some sort of brain muscle disconnect when he smokes. Because you could 360 roundhouse this motherfucker and he would still be chilling in the same spot he smoked. That is, until the effect just wears off. And we got Philosopher Phil. Listen, I don't know what Phil smokes, but whatever it is, it seems to rewire his brain and turn him into a modern Aristotle. If a time machine is ever made in the future, then it has always existed. Yeah, bro, I never thought about it like that. How can you prove to me that you even exist? I don't know, I just... Was math discovered? Or was it created? Created... Wait. No, discovered... Are we a body with a mind, or just a mind with a body? Hey, bro, I'm way too high for this shit.
Bigfoot, the Loch Ness Monster, leprechauns, unicorns, two pretty best friends, and love.
They don't exist, bro.
I've looked far and wide, I've searched the depths of the valleys and the highs of the mountains, and yet still, one of the friends always gotta be chopped, bro. But love too, though, man. I've searched everywhere. I've scoured my hometown. I've gone from the coast of Mexico to the cities of Japan. But one way or another, I always just end up with nobody to love. Or I end up getting robbed by gay homies, dude. I mean, I was down bad, bro. It got to the point I thought maybe I just wasn't meant to find a girlfriend. Maybe this was just a face only a mother could love.
Ew, get that shit off the screen.
What, Mom?
So I hopped on a flight to Barcelona, and this story takes place a few weeks ago. It's a new continent, new city with new people, and maybe even a new girlfriend. And so as soon as I stepped foot on that Spanish soil, I downloaded Tinder and got the swiping, bro. Fine shit, swipe right. Cute shit, swipe right. Chop shit. Swipe right, bro. It's a numbers game. I done swiped so much my thumb had a six pack and I ran out of girls to swipe on. But shit, I mean, it's a numbers game. And since I pulled up solo dolo, I went and checked into a hostel. Now, if you don't know what a hostel is, it's pretty much like a little hotel, except you share your room with like six other motherfuckers. But to be fair, you save a lot of money. And I low-key don't mind sleeping with some random dudes if it means I get some extra change in my pocket. You know what I'm saying?
Is 15 enough?
Nah, the hostel is like 30-something.
Oh, nah, I don't need a hostel.
What? Wait, no, not like that, bro. Anyway, sleeping in that hostel was fucking crazy, bro. Like, first night I got there, I hopped in my little twin bunk bed and closed the curtains, and everyone was like,
"All right, good night, boys.
Sweet dreams. Love you, motherfuckers.
Love you too, man. Y'all, motherfuckers. Yo, motherfucker on the top right bunk, say it back.
Good night.
And
I love you.
Love you too, bro. Lights out."
So the sun came up and my ass didn't get a drop of sleep. But regardless, I got out of bed, got some coffee, explored the city, hit the beach, got some food, all the normal shit you do when you're in a new city. But after a long day of tourist shit, I went back to my room. I went back to our room. I hopped in my little bunk bed and prepared myself to open up Tinder after letting that shit cook for a solid 24 hours. And when I opened that shit up, yo, I got 28 matches.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, bro. Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Oh, hell no. Now, I'm gonna keep it a buck. Initially, that number 28 was looking mad nice until I clicked that shit and started looking through my matches and realized, yo, this shit is not a numbers game, bro. Like, you know you're cooked when the chuds are sliding on you saying shit like, hey, yo, I'm trying to put you in chains for real and then touch your stick, man. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm deleting this shit, bro. And just as I'm about to give up on my dreams of finding my other half, I get a new match. It's Yvonne, straight dime, certified fine shit, bro. I had to slide in with some heat. So I'm like, Yvonne? Nah, more like King Vaughn, because I'm trying to take you to the O. Of marriage. Now that would be a crazy story. Opening bracket featuring Lil Durk, closing bracket. And before I send her some absolute bullshit like that, she hits me with a hey. Oh, you know, nah, that works. What's up? How are you? Great, how are you? And we end up having a marvelous conversation. We share a bunch of beliefs, perspectives, and above all, we got the same taste in music. So I'm like, you free tomorrow?
Yeah, I'm free tomorrow.
What's your favorite food?
I'm a drinks type of girl.
Say less, I know a place. I don't know shit. I literally just got here, bro.
Okay, see you tomorrow.
And just like that, I just got myself a date.
I'm coming.
Nah, you can't come. It's my date, bro. Oh, hell no. So that night, I did a little research and found the coolest bar in Barcelona. But when I went to make a reservation online, they only do in-person virtual queues. So instead, I went to sleep. So the next day, I woke up with some pep in my goddamn step. I looked at some fire architecture. I hit a mean leg day. Ate some gas Spanish food. And before I knew it, it was time to get ready for my date. So I hopped in the shower, put on my toughest fit, sprayed on a little Valentino, hopped into Uber, and arrived at the bar 30 minutes early. So this way, I could join the virtual queue in order to get into the bar at 9 p.m. sharp. So I'm waiting outside and find shit. Messages me like,
yo, I'ma be a little bit late, I'm still doing my hair.
And I'm all like, that's no problem, I know some people, I can make some calls, don't worry about it. So I walk up to the security out front like, yo, so fine shit says she's gonna be a little bit late, can I change the time or something?
Nah, bro, just rejoin.
I bet. So I rejoin, go sit outside and wait, and then I get another text message.
I'm so sorry, but my makeup took longer than I thought, so I'ma be a little extra late.
So I walk up, rejoin the queue, and security's like,
yo, what's going on?
It's nothing. Fine shit's makeup took a little longer than expected, you know.
Hey, listen, man, this fine shit of yours, you sure she's even coming?
Nah, yeah, nah, of course, that's fine shit, she's coming. So I go back and sit down outside, but looking back, I definitely gave her the benefit of the doubt, but that was her first red flag. So now it's about 9:40 p.m. and I get a text message from Yvonne that reads, I'm here. So I go to link with Yvonne for the moment of truth, whether or not I'm about to go on a date with fine shit or 50-year-old neck bearded catfish shit. And fortunately for me, no catfish.
Change.
Yo.
Hey.
What's up? Now the virtual queue still had 10 minutes before we could get in, so we go and sit down outside and have a little chat. And it's a great conversation. We got a lot to talk about and the vibes are there.
So you could travel to Barcelona alone. What do you do? Is it daddy's money?
Yeah, it's daddy's money.
Ah, okay, interesting.
But I'm daddy.
Yeah, no, I need to drink some alcohol.
Yeah, no, me too. My phone beeps and it's our turn to go inside, but this is no regular bar, so I'm like, yo, just follow me. So we enter this pastrami shop, I open the fridge, we go inside, and we go through this tunnel that leads us to the bar. We order our drinks and continue talking.
Okay, so if it's not daddy's money, then what do you do?
And so obviously, I just told her, like,
OnlyFans.
You're lying.
I am dead ass serious. My meat is all over the worldwide net.
What? No way.
Show me.
Oh, shit. Like, nah, shit. Maybe after a few drinks, you know what I'm saying?
And right on time, our drinks showed up, and my shit
was radioactive, bro. Like, here's a picture. There are no filters or effects on that shit, and I'm not gonna lie, it tasted exactly how it looked. But regardless, I'm tanking that shit, and I don't know what it is, but that shitty-ass drink was giving me superpowers, bruh. That shit had me cooking up the greatest answers to her questions possible, bruh. Okay, so if you had one wish, what would it be?
Damn, that's a good question. Shit. Okay, if I had one wish...
Period cramps.
What?
I would rid the world of period cramps, man. I hate the fact that they exist. Just even thinking about it, like, ooh, they sure do get me riled up, man. I hate them.
Wait. Me too.
Nah, that's crazy. We have so much in common.
And from that moment on, I could tell she took down her guard and got comfortable. Cause she started saying shit like, this guy from my school is obsessed with me and he won't stop snapping me.
Damn. Maybe she should stop responding or some shit.
She snaps a picture of us and captions that shit.
He getting it and you not. Lol.
Red flag number two. What kind of anime villain origin story are you trying to create for this motherfucker, bro? But I digress.
We order the second round of drinks. But as she's sipping that shit, I can hear an accent starting to form in her speech. So I'm like,
yo, where's this accent coming from?
Oh yeah, nah, when I drink, my French accent starts coming out.
And I kid you not, she went from one drink sounding like,
yeah, so my favorite food is pasta,
to drink four, dead ass talking like,
actually, I changed my mind. My favorite food is croissant.
Shawty turned from fine shit to French shit so fast, I didn't even know who I was on a date with at this point. And then she hits me with a,
I'll be right back.
She grabs my face and hits my ass with a big ass swoosh. Now that shit took me aback. I was not expecting it. However, maybe it's just a culture thing. Maybe it's normal for her. So I can't say that it's a real red flag. So she's still in the game.
And when she comes back, she's like,
yo, chains, let's go to the beach.
Say less. So we're walking down to the beach and she says some shit like,
so when's the next date?
Oh, it's on Saturday at 6 p.m.
Oh no, I'm not free on Saturday.
Oh, you mean date with you? Yeah, nah, this is the last one. Now I said it as a joke, but she wanted to get all mad and shit and storm off. Now in this situation, I have two options. Option A is chase after her and beg her to stay. And option B is standing there like an absolute peak male specimen to the point the gravitational pull of my testosterone retrieves her back to the very location she left. And I went with option B. And she came back, bruh.
You're supposed to chase after me. It's like a French thing.
Ah, okay. I'm not French, bro. So we continue with our walk, and I'm cracking jokes, entertaining her and shit. But honestly, that little stunt shorty pulled back there was red flag number three for me, bro. So at this point, I'm not in it for the game of love. I am simply just in it for the love of the game, bruh. So we arrive at Barceloneta Beach. We sit down, and at this point, it's about 1 a.m., but we're still chatting, having a good time. But out of the corner of my eye, I see a man hooded up, walking towards us from the darkness. And as bro's approaching, I'm ready for anything. I'm getting ready to take a stand, throw some hands, get in the sand. Should I even go band for band? But if this dude gets any closer, I'd be damned, and this motherfucker hits us with a drive-by compliment.
You have a very beautiful girlfriend.
Aw, thank you.
Thank you?
Damn, do you think he'll find a girlfriend beautiful like me?
Yeah, nah, he seems like a great dude. I'm sure he could find somebody.
What?
I said, yeah, nah, he seems like a nice fella. This girl slaps the shit out of me and says,
you're supposed to say nobody's as beautiful as me.
Bro. In this moment, I had never been so unattracted to a girl in my life. Am I tripping? Or did you just slap the shit out of me?
And then she tries to kiss me again, talking about,
I'm sorry.
Nah.
What? No, what?
And even after getting my shit absolutely Will Smith, I'm still trying to be polite. Like, listen, I don't kiss girls on the first date.
You don't kiss girls on the first date.
Yeah.
So, you're telling me, for a living, your occupation is laying down that pipe on film and then proceeding to post it online and you can't kiss me?
type shit.
And she storms off, bro, but I know exactly what to do to solve this problem, so why stand there like an absolute peak male specimen to conjure up that same gravitational pull? And she's still walking, bro. She just kept walking. She got on the bus. She dipped, bro. She left. Damn. And as the bus disappears in the distance, I hear a motherfucker say,
"Yo, you from here?"
Nah, I'm just visiting.
Oh shit, okay, us too. You know where the good clubs are at?
Yeah, I mean, I heard all the good ones are like right there, bro.
Oh shit, bet. Okay, we're about to go hit those if you're trying to pull up, bro.
Say less. So these two random ass dudes I just met and I start heading to the club together, and I'm like,
"Yo, where you guys from, by the way?"
"We're from France."
"Yo, that's crazy. I just had a date with a French girl."
"Oh, no way. How'd it go?"
"Ah, shit. You know, I think it went pretty good."
That's what's up, yeah.
So why is your cheek so red?
"Oh, I mean, she just slapped the shit out of me."
"Wait, she what?"
"Nah, I mean, it's probably just a French thing, you know what I'm saying?"
Not a French thing, you just got assaulted.
Aw, shit. So me and the new French homies pull up to the club and it's jumping, bruh. We start taking shots, shooting shots, airballing shots, and then I get a bunch of voice messages from Yvonne talking about,
"Oh, the good feelings I had for you are gone. You are a literal piece of shit. Go get AIDS filming for OnlyFans, bitch."
Oh, hell no.
Wait, let me respond.
And I'm drunk as hell trying to say a nice response. Like, you know, like, it's really like, it really is the type of shit where like type shit. Like,
and the French homies take my phone and start cooking her ass in French.
Now, I didn't understand a single word that came out of their mouths, but it sounded like homies just dropped a career-ending diss track on her. And I say that because as soon as she opened it, she blocked my ass, bruh.
Hey, bruh, you know what they say.
What do they say?
Getting blocked's a whole lot better than getting cocked.
What? There is no way they say that.
Yo, three-man alert.
So the two homies start laying down that French wrist, and that shit hits so hard, I just got a free entry, bruh.
Hey, English. Room for one more?
So the six of us absolutely fucked the club up, went out for some 4 a.m. churros dipped in chocolate, and man, that shit hit harder than Yvonne, bro.
So at the end of the day, even if I didn't end up finding love in Barcelona, there is one thing I did find.
I did find out how Chris Rock felt. God damn.
Eating magic brownies. If you've ever ingested one of these exquisite delicacies, you would know there are some clear distinctions between eating magic brownies and puffing magic clouds. First off, magic brownies are some dangerous shit, but in like a sneaky ass way. Kinda like how if I knew nothing about raccoons and I saw one chilling on the road, I would be like, "Aw, that's a cute ass raccoon. I'm gonna go help it across the road and make sure it's safe. Hey, little guy."
God damn, fuck.
You see, that's dangerous. Which is exactly like when you see an innocent brownie chilling on the counter, waiting to be eaten. And you're like, "Shit, that brownie's been chilling there for a little bit too long. I'm gonna just clean it up, you know what I'm saying?" And shit, the next thing you know, you're laying face down on the floor, four bags of Doritos deep, while watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians. not that that happened to me or something, like, you know. Anyways, secondly, the brownies are made to catch you lacking. I mean, if you've tried edibles, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll have a good piece, like enough to get you baked, but that shit just doesn't hit. Bro, I really don't feel anything. You probably just didn't have enough. Alright then, let me have some more. Yeah, I got you. They'll have you eating three brownies at a time, like, fuck, bro, I've eaten three goddamn brownies and I don't feel shit. Like, do they even work? Yes, they do, bro. Look at Eric. That motherfucker only had half. What the fuck? He only had half a brownie? I've eaten three. Them things can even take up to a few hours to hit. They'll leave you with the good old, damn, bro. These edibles ain't shit. These bad boys will have you seeing rainbows. They'll have you lagging in real life. I mean, shit, if you have enough, they'll have you out here talking to Pop Smoke. And the thing is, the magic clouds will introduce themselves to you before they hit. But the fucking magic brownies be coming out of nowhere on some Randy Orton shit, leaving a motherfucker RKO'd out of nowhere. And I'm telling you, there's something about edibles that be changing your settings. Like, that bitch lowers your FPS, changes your render distance, and maxes out your sensitivity. I mean, one time I gobbled down a brownie, and when I touched a blanket, I felt every bristle, every microfiber, and every single atom in each microfiber. I mean, it was really a blessing and a curse. Because every time my shirt would wrinkle, I would take 1 HP. But at the same time, a bowl of ice cream had me busting, bro. Because magic is some powerful shit. Like one time a good friend of mine got fooled by the good old, "These edibles ain't shit. Let me pop some more." And when those edibles hit, they changed every setting this man had. Yo, Robert, you okay? How you doing, bro?
¿Quién es Roberto? ¿Quién verga eres tú? ¿Y quién eres tú? ¿Dónde estoy?
Hold up. Does Robert know Spanish? No, bruh. That motherfucker only knows English. Shit, Robert ended up legally changing his name to Javier. And that motherfucker moved to Barcelona. He just never came back. So like I said, those magic brownies are powerful, and you can do with them as you please, but remember, with great power comes great responsibility. Listen, most of us have been high before, and most of us have also been drunk before, but it truly takes one determined, perseverant, curious, and brave dumbass to be high and drunk at the same time. Which perfectly described your boy way, way, way back in grade 7. See, this story is crazy because I had never been high or drunk before this incident. And all at once, I turned from just a young, innocent boy into the low IQ human I am today. So, it was grade 7 and my school had just got out for spring break. The boys and I had already planned out a little get together for one of our friends' birthdays. So after school, me and the boys link up. We go and clean up our friend Billy's house, cause you can't throw a birthday function in a dirty house. And it was dirty, bro. So by the time we were done cleaning, it was already about 7:30. So that meant everyone started to show up. So the boys and I started doing your average middle school activities. By that, I mean we're wrestling, we're breaking stuff, and the girls were just posted on the couch. Cause, what are we supposed to do? Talk to them? Hell nah. But eventually we got tired of throwing each other around. So we're all sweaty and shit and we sit down on the couch, leaving at least 1.5 meters between us and the girls, of course. And we just sat there. But then out of nowhere, Billy's like, "I got a brownie." And I'm over here thinking, the fuck? The hoes don't care about your brownie, bruh. But then Billy started to elaborate. "Guys, this is no ordinary brownie. I stole it from my uncle's do not eat cabinet. And he says they're magical." Oh, he probably means they're magically tasty. I need a bite of that. Does anyone want a piece?
Yeah, I'll try one.
Yeah, sure, I want some.
I mean, I am kind of hungry.
Yes, please.
So everyone has their piece, and they're kind of building up the suspense, like, "Are you guys ready?
Are you sure we should do this?"
And I'm still clueless. I'm over here thinking, it's a brownie. What's the big deal? The fuck? This brownie isn't magical. This shit tastes like ass. Oh, Chains, how do you feel? I feel like I just ate some dog shit, bruh. I'm gonna keep it a stack. Your uncle needs a new baker for real. "No, Chains, it's not about the taste. They're grass-infused brownies. They're supposed to get you high." Man, what? I feel like this is the kind of thing you're supposed to say before I downed it. So everyone eats their piece of brownie and then continues to sit in awkward silence for like the next 2 hours. But then the brownie starts to hit. People are dropping like flies. And eventually, everyone felt it except me. And they're just doing high stuff, like eating all the food in the kitchen, watching Netflix documentaries. But for me, the brownie still hasn't hit. And Billy notices that I'm sober, and he's like, "Wait here." Bro goes into his mom's liquor cupboard and pours out unholy amounts of vodka and just hands me the cup. Keep in mind, I had never drank before, so I have no clue whether or not this is a lot. So I literally chugged the whole thing. Looking back, it had to have been at least 5 shots all at once. But man, I had no clue. So I'm just sitting there chilling on the couch,
waiting for something magical to happen. And I start to think, maybe I'm just invincible. Like nothing can affect me. It all hit at once. The brownie and the vodka was out here running combos on me like John Cena and Randy Orton. And bro, something in that brownie changed my settings and enabled third-person perspective. It was the weirdest feeling. It was like I was watching myself on a movie, but like I was in the movie. Bro, I don't know. And apparently it also gave me the ability to teleport. Because I swear, when I blinked, I teleported from Billy's crib to the front of a McDonald's line. And listen, I have no clue what happened in between that time, but I had no business being in a public setting right now. Hi, what can I get for you? Sir, can I help you? Yeah. What can I get for you? Listen, because I was high, drunk, and apparently had no social capabilities, I was spitting some nonsense to this poor McDonald's employee. Yeah. Do y'all got the Popeye's chicken sandwich? Sir, this is McDonald's. Yeah. And let me get that Dairy Queen Blizzard.
Dairy Queen, what?
And, what kind of nachos do you guys have? I blinked again, and we were all back at Billy's house. The very last thing I remember from that night is there was absolutely no blankets. So I was out here using literally anything I could find for a little bit of warmth. But eventually, after a long night, I passed out. If you saw this video, you would know my mom has caught me lacking baked beyond belief before. And after that experience, I really changed my ways. I mean, I was grounded for over a year. So in that time, I decided to get my life together. I started working out, eating healthy, getting straight A's in school. Okay, that's cap, but straight B's in school. Okay, B's and C's, but that's besides the point. The point is, I got my ass beat for coming home zooted, and I never smoked again. Until I did. So, this incident takes place with the man, the myth, the legend, Bob. So me, Billy, and Bob are chilling at Bob's crib when Bob says the holy words. Are you guys trying to smoke? Yeah, bet. And keep in mind, the rest of my homies had been smoking regularly. But your boy was fresh out of the slammer. I mean, I was pretty much on probation at this point. And on top of that, I hadn't smoked for over a year, so my tolerance had gone to shit. So with all that being said, the smart decision was to simply not smoke. But shit, if you know me, I am not one for smart decisions. In fact, I was one for stupid decisions. So I was out here hitting this hoe like Chris Breezy. I was puffing this joint like Wiz Khalifa. When honestly, I should have been patient and just taking my time because who knows what my tolerance was at this point. So when it starts hitting me, it hits hard. But the homies were closely monitoring me because they knew if I got caught high again, well on probation, I would be serving 20 to life. So they're out here checking my eyes, checking my heart rate, checking my pulse. And the diagnostic was, I think you're chilling, bro. But progressively, I was getting higher and higher. So as we're there watching the most goated cartoon, The Amazing World of Gumball, I start floating. And I don't know if anyone else has experienced this before, but sometimes when you get mad high, you just forget that you even exist. And you use 107% of your brain power to just think. So I was out here floating away, thinking about some random bullshit. Yo, it's crazy that everyone in the world is either named Quandale, or they're not. Wait, what if I'm in a simulation? No. What if I'm in an animation, being drawn by some dude on his computer for a platform of entertainment? And a bunch of people know what I'm thinking right now. Hold up. Is a tomato a vegetable or a fruit? But I'm brought back to earth by a text message. Oh man. Mom. Please come home for dinner at 6. Damn. I gotta be home for dinner at 6. Oh shit, what time is it? It's 5:30. Nah, we can't let your mom find out you're cooked. So Bob whips out his emergency hide how baked you are kit. Boom, hits me with the eye drops to make my eyes less red. douses me in cologne to cover up the smell, and apparently eating oranges also helps slow down your high. So I leave Bob's crib, and as I'm walking home, I'm brainstorming all the possible scenarios. Either I play this off like a smooth criminal and nobody ever finds out, or I could get caught and I could get sentenced to 30 years. So as I walk up to my front door, my entire future is dependent on how I play this shit off. I take a deep breath and I ring the doorbell. And my brother opens the door. The door was unlocked, dumbass. Fuck, I'm off to a bad start. So I walk into the kitchen, casual as hell. Oh, Chains, how was your day? Oh, it was good. How was yours? Yeah, good shit, we're doing good. Oh, it was good, thanks for asking. Wow, Mom. This mac and cheese looks succulent. Fuck, why did I say that? Who the fuck says succulent? Oh, why, thank you. I switched the recipe up a little bit. Just be casual, be casual. Mmm, the mac and cheese, it's good. Thank you. What were you guys doing at Bob's? Fuck, what do I say? A twister. Oh, a twister? Yep, twister. Wasn't it just you, Bob, and Billy? Yep, just a good old game of Twister with the boys. Damn, y'all are gay as hell. Yep, not to being gay as hell, I just meant yup in general, like, you know, like, Chains, are you feeling okay? Oh fuck, she knows. What do I do? A little word of advice, whenever you're in one of these situations, just cap and say you're tired. Like, it works for everything. Are you high? No, I'm just tired. Damn, bro, are you depressed? No, I'm just tired.
Help! Help! I'm drowning!
No, I'm just tired. So while I was backed into a corner, I was pretty much on trial facing life. I just used the good old... No, I'm just really tired. I couldn't get much sleep last night. I think I could even take a nap right now. But thank you very much for dinner. And call me Michael Jackson, cause your boy was a certified smooth criminal. And I moonwalked my high ass all the way into a nap. And goddamn, that nap hit. Getting too high and ordering Chinese food 3 times because you keep forgetting you ordered it is one thing. But being too high in public is just one situation you don't want to be in. Like, when you're too high in public, it feels like there's always a spotlight on you. And that all these random people you walk by are staring you down. But whatever you do, you can't make eye contact with anyone. Or else that person will snatch your soul. If anyone else gets paranoid when they get high, then I know you can relate. I'll be out here fighting demons trying to walk to the gas station like, okay, relax, you're gonna be okay. The gas station is right there. Holy shit, it's the cops. They're after me. Man, something in that gas smokes away all your logic and reasoning. Like, it'll have me jumping from conclusion to conclusion like I'm playing Mario. Did that girl just look at me? Shit. She must think I'm sexy. Wait, no. She knows I'm high. Holy shit, she's probably an undercover FBI agent. She's getting back up as I speak. I gotta get the fuck out of here. And sometimes when you're smacked in a public setting, you're just forced to talk to people. Don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact.
Hey man, do you know where the Walmart is around here?
Wait, fuck. What did he say? He probably just asked how I was doing. Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, but do you know where the Walmart is?
Oh, yep. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks for asking. Phew, good thing I played that one off. Or, I mean, you could always just take the good old safe route.
Hey, man, do you know where the Walmart...
When you get way too baked in public, you also feel super self-conscious about everything. Am I walking weird? How do I even normally walk? Why am I walking like I just shit my pants? Okay, this feels pretty normal. Wait, am I even breathing right? Fuck, now I just turned on manual breathing. Roaming the streets while baked, you'll come across lots of people. But there's just some unspoken connection between two high people. Like, no words have to be said. You see that his eyes are red, and he sees that your eyes are red. You dap each other up out of respect, and you keep it pushing. Now, when you're baked as hell in public,
but you're with a group of people who are just as baked as you, it's a lot easier to relax. Because the simple thought that these people look just as stupid as I do. And honestly, at that point, you can just embrace it. Because you're no longer baked, alone, and afraid anymore. Now you can speak your truth. Hey man, do you know where the wall- Hey bro, I'ma stop you right there. I am fucking baked. And therefore, I cannot help you locate anything you may be looking for. And listen, being baked and Mickey D's go hand in hand. The problem is, you have to actually talk to the McDonald's guy to get your food. Like, when I'm baked, I just don't have the brain capacity to communicate what I'm thinking. Shit, I'm probably gonna get a Big Mac. Hi there, what can I get for you? Do you guys have burgers? No shit, we got burgers. Yeah, then let me get the burger, you know, like with the things, the, you know what I'm saying, like that, yeah. Damn, you are fucking stupid, bro. And we already know being zooted at school can either be a rather delightful experience, or it could be completely and utterly terrible. Once again, if you tend to get paranoid when you're high, being at school has to be one of the worst places to be. You'll be out here ducking and dodging the teachers, absolutely shitting the bed on all your tests, and it's just overall gonna be a stressful ass experience. But on the other hand, if you get much more relaxed when you're high, then you get a nice little mood boost. You walk around with your head up and that baked grin on your face. Shit, this was never me, but I know some motherfuckers magically get a better mark on their tests when they're faded. Overall, you're just kinda living life stress-free. I mean, these two experiences are pretty much complete opposites. So I'm not trying to say being baked in public is always gonna be a bad experience, but for me, I'd much rather accidentally place 3 orders of Chinese food from the comfort of my own home. My first time eating magic mushrooms. Now this story takes place on a spooky Halloween night. And of course, when you're young, Halloween is about dressing up and getting candy from strangers. But as you get older, you grow to realize the true meaning of Halloween is to commit as many devious and malicious crimes in one night as humanly possible. Like when me and my homies first transformed from some young, innocent gentlemen into some unethical and deceitful delinquents, we planned out some criminal activities for our first teenager Halloween. Yo, trick-or-treating is for nerds, where we're gonna drink alcohol and smoke grass.
Woo. Yeah.
That is so teenager. So you know, we drink their drink and we smoke their grass. Man, I sure could fuck up some Reese's Pieces right now. Not gonna lie, some Skittles would be fire. Alright, fuck it. So we threw on last year's Halloween drip and shamelessly went trick-or-treating baked as fuck. Trick-or-treat. Aren't you guys a little bit old to be trick-or-treating? No, but we got our candy and we went back to Billy's crib and the munchies took over. I mean, we fucked that shit up so fast that we changed costumes and we spun the block. Trick-or-treat. Didn't you guys already come here?
No. There's a snake in my boot.
So all Halloween, me and the gang pretty much just ate chocolate. But by the time next year rolled around, okay, this Halloween is going to be the best Halloween yet. But how can we top last year? Yeah, we already smoked grass and ingested alcohol well underaged. Cause I got these. This dude, Billy, whips out a handful of shrooms. And honestly, Billy didn't even need to convince us, cause me and Bob were trying to have the best Halloween ever. So we split it up, and we all down a sizable amount of magic mushrooms for our first time. And let me tell you, there are many smooth ways to consume some magic mushrooms. One being the pizza technique. As well as the good old PB and Shroom Sammy. However, we had smoked and we had drank before, but magic mushrooms were completely out of our expertise. So we just choked them shits down raw.
and it was strange. It tasted like I just ate earth. If earth was dry as fuck and like chewy. But about 20 minutes after eating the shrooms, Billy has a genius idea. Okay, hear me out. We go trick-or-treating, collect some candy real quick, and come back. So when these mushrooms hit, we can be eating good. Okay, wait, then we need some costumes. Okay, I do have 3 costumes, but like, just don't ask any questions, okay? Why do you have no questions, bro? Now let's go get this bag of candy. So we're mobbing around the neighborhood in some gangster Teletubby suits. And we roll up to the first house, like...
Trick or treat.
Aw, you guys are so cute. And we were banging out house after house. But after about 4 houses, I started to notice my Teletubby mitts were looking a little suspicious. But I didn't have time to think about the psychedelics that were potentially invading my brain because I had bigger priorities. Go cop some Halloween candy.
Trick or treat.
But as we walked up to the 8th house, I was undeniably tripping balls. Cause as I looked up at Bob, I just started uncontrollably laughing my ass off. And Bob's shrooms must have kicked in too, because we were both just hysterically laughing at each other for no reason. But then the door opened and I saw this tall ass bald dude with an unconceivably large smile on his face. I mean, the shrooms made it look like his smile was just unproportionately big, and I just assumed it was a Halloween mask.
Man, I love your Halloween costume.
What costume?
Oh, holy shit. We need to get home ASAP.
So we're making our way back home, tripping balls in our Teletubby costumes, and I'm just seeing the stars falling out of the sky. Then out of nowhere, Billy yells, "What the fuck is that?" I'm probably just tripping, but it looks like zombies running towards us at full speed.
Oh, yeah. I see it too.
Oh shit, we gotta run. So me, Billy, and Bob start booking it back to Billy's house. And I am hauling ass because there is no way I'm getting packed up by some zombies right now. And when I look back, I don't see some zombie costume. No, I see some real ass zombies. Like, bones sticking out, eyeballs look like they haven't blinked in centuries, and that shit just made me run faster. Cause to me, this was a life or death situation. I mean, in reality, it probably just looked like... Ah!
360 Oomabooga!
We get back to Billy's crib.
Holy shit, get in.
Lock it. And we were not taking any chances. I mean, we barricaded every single door in the entire house. And for a second, it was a horrible trip. I mean, I thought I was in the zombie apocalypse. But once we settled down, we were having the time of our lives, chilling and eating candy while tripping balls.
Booga booga!
Oh, yo. Shit.
Damn.
That's why you don't mess with me. Yo, I'm Jordan Johnson.
Mr. Johnson, why did you beat Kyle's ass?
Mr. Principal, I never touched Kyle. In fact, I've never seen this kid my entire life.
How do you presume he received a concussion, 2 broken ribs, a black eye, a broken nose, and a dislocated shoulder?
I mean, he must have fallen down the stairs or something.
Okay, Mr. Johnson, how do you explain this?
Yeah.
That's why you don't mess with me. I'm Jordan Johnson.
I mean,
you got the wrong Jordan Johnson.
Then, what happened to your knuckles there?
Shit, these ain't even my knuckles.
Listen, I am not one to condone violence. But I'm not gonna lie, school fights are a major part of the high school experience.
I mean, there's something about a good old school brawl that just boosts students' morale.
Like, there is nothing that gets you through the rest of the day like some kid getting his ass beat in front of the entire school. And truthfully, it's just a community building experience because it gives everyone something to talk about. Yo, did you see the fight? Yeah, bro, Kyle got his shit rocked. Wait, are you guys talking about the fight? Yeah, bro. Man, Kyle got fucked up, dude. Overall, in school fights, everyone wins. Like, the fighter gets some respect, and the crowd gets some entertainment. It's a win-win. What about me? But tell me why, when a fight breaks out, the entire school will be recording, but not one person can get a good video. It's like when a fight breaks out, every motherfucker recording starts having severe hand spasms. I mean, as the person recording the fight, you literally have one job. To record the fight. Damn, I just missed it. What happened? Oh, well, lucky for you, I recorded the entire thing from start to finish on my brand new Samsung. Check it out. Did anyone else record the fight? Oh, shit, yeah, I did on my brand new iPhone 14 that actually records in 4K. Okay, bet. Ooh, damn.
Let's go, JJ.
That's why you don't mess with me.
But bro, this is just a video of your face for 8 minutes straight. And watching some of these fights are funny as hell. Because some motherfuckers will come in swinging like KSI. Some motherfuckers are out here thinking they're Daniel LaRusso. And some motherfuckers should just not be fighting. Which is honestly the best part. Because where else could you catch a 6'5", 250-pound big body scrapping some 5'2 nerd? Like, the UFC would never let that shit slide. Plus, you get to watch it all for free. But me personally, I've never gotten into a school fight. But don't get me wrong, if someone wanted to catch these hands, I could hit them with the little knuckle sandwich, if you know what I mean. But truth be told, I could never lose a fight. Not because I know how to fight, but because for Bob, shit was on sight. And trust me, you don't fuck with Bob. Bob's got a better record than Floyd Mayweather. And I even heard one time he got into a little altercation with Mike Tyson. All I'ma say is, he dealt with him. But with that being said, we all know that one kid in school who was born to simply beat people's ass. Like, this dude's life purpose was to run people's fade. And of course, I had someone like this at my school. He was the type of dude who had nothing to lose, so he would instigate a fight wherever he could. We'll just call him Jordan. And honestly, he was holding a solid record. I mean, he was probably 12-0. But one day, Jordan picked on the wrong kid. Hey nerd, take off those stupid glasses. And Bob was a man of little words, so Jordan's buffoonery did not faze him. Hey nerd, I said take off those stupid glasses. Hey, stop ignoring me. And without saying a word, Bob just ended Jordan's whole career. And ever since that day, nobody messed with Bob. That's why you don't mess with me. Yo, I'm Jordan Johnson.
Yo. Yo, hey. Yo, wake up. Bro, wake up.
Hey, man.
What? Who are you?
Dreams. We all have them whether you remember them or not. And at one point in our lives, we've all dreamt about the same shit, bro. Like your teeth falling out or running through your school butt booty naked or being reincarnated as a chicken laying eggs. But when you really step back and think about what sleeping is, it's mad weird, bro. Like, imagine an alien crash landed on Earth and saw a bunch of motherfuckers sleeping, like...
Yo, why is everyone dead?
Oh, no, they're not dead, they're just sleeping.
Man, what the fuck is sleeping?
Yeah, so basically they just play dead for 8 hours and live false realities in their heads and shit.
Strange.
Yeah, like, you see this guy? He's probably dreaming about sunshine and rainbows.
Get down!
See, this dude, he's having a nightmare for sure.
Oh, and this dude, yo, this dude's definitely fucking, bro. I'm a
caterpillar. Damn, that's crazy.
Now, we all know there's only 3 questions in life that have yet to be answered. What's the meaning of life? What's Obama's last name? And why do we dream? Dude, it's all your subconscious talking to you, man. You just gotta find the true meaning of each dream, dude.
Bro,
What the actual fuck could this possibly mean, bruh?
You're autistic.
Anyways, the craziest part about dreams is the fact you're the one telling the story and you're the one listening to that shit. My dumbass still falls for the plot twist every time, bruh. I'll never forget this one dream I had back in grade 6 where me and my two homies were walking. Don't know where, don't know why, but as we're walking, a dude in a big white van pulls up talking about,
"Hey, if you kids come in my van, I'll give you some candy."
Shit. I mean, I'd come in your mouth for the whole bag. So obviously, we hop in, and the driver looks absolutely cracked out, talking about,
"Hey kids, eat this candy."
And so we unwrap this piece of candy, and it's literally just a razor blade, bro. Like, he didn't even try and hide that shit. Nah, I think I'll have to pass on this one.
Alright, then eat this piece of candy.
This is a perk 30. You got any Reese's cups?
I got Reese's cups. Here.
Sir, this is just a Glock covered in peanut butter.
Alright, fine, take this.
Shit, okay. So we eat this unsuspicious looking candy and instantly start tripping balls, bruh. Like, the van is deforming, we're seeing rainbows and shit, and worst of all, we see this big ass grin on the driver's face. And I don't remember exactly what he said, but he said some crazy shit like,
"Get ready, I'm coming for them cheeks."
It was more like
"Looks like your private square just went public."
Okay, no, that wasn't it either. It was something more like a,
"You boys ever had your buns stuffed like a meat mountain from Arby's?"
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what he said, but all I know is if we didn't act fast, we were getting our cheeks snatched up, bro. So Billy's like, "Yo, quick, call your dad." So I'm rushing to start calling my dad, and this is the most dream logic shit ever, cause I don't even got a dad, bruh. And this is where my own brain hit me with the meanest plot twist I never saw coming. Cause as I'm calling my dad, the driver's phone starts ringing, bruh.
Bomba Club.
Now I don't remember the rest, but the fact my own brain hit me with some Star Wars Darth Vader type plot twist, god damn, bruh, that shit was a movie. But still, I probably got my shit touched, so I'm gonna have to leave this as a B-tier dream, bro. B-tier? What the fuck could possibly be worse than a crackhead tickling your pickle, bro? Now, those motherfuckers could be their own torture method, bro. These are dreams that just have you stuck in an infinite time loop doing the same shit over and over and over and over in C-tier, bro. Now, lucid dreams. Lucid dreams are deadass just playing life on creative mode, bro. Because in my long life, I've only had 3 lucid dreams, and every single one of them was lit as fuck, bruh. Now the problem is I can only start lucid dreaming when my original dream is just a little too strange. Like, "Hey, you're cute. Can I get your number?"
"What? You want my number?"
"Yeah."
I must be lucid dreaming.
Ow, what the fuck? Shit, it's so real, bro. I could do anything. I could probably fucking fly.
Alright, Chains, this is not a dream. You're under arrest for battery and assault.
But for real, my first lucid dream started when I was posted up in a basement with Michael Jackson.
"Yo, aren't you supposed to be, like, dead and shit?"
"Oh shit, I must be dreaming." And so to test the waters, I start spawning in random shit on the spot, and this is the moment I realized the possibilities were endless, bruh. I could do whatever I wanted, and so I spawned in a honey pack, and I spawned in Lola Bunny, and I-
S-tier. Lucid dreams are S-tier, bruh. Wet dreams are too.
Now, we got a few popular reoccurring dreams on our hands, like running through your school butt booty naked. Now, back in the day, this dream used to have me scared shitless, bro. I was like, "Oh shit, where's my pants? Yo, what's my crush gonna think? What are the boys gonna say?"
But ever since graduating high school,
that dream has me scared even more shitless, bro. Cause now it's like, "Oh shit, yo, what's the police gonna think?
Let's find your back.
Bro, what's the judge gonna say, bro?
Shut the fuck up."
Fucking C-tier.
Teeth falling out,
B-tier.
Random adventures with your homies, A-tier, bro. Bebop and Billy have fought bears together. We've been to the Nether. We've even fucked around and ran a 3-man on the Totally Spies cast. Like, these dreams are so lit that when I wake up in my raggedy old lonely ass bed, I'd be trying to go back to sleep to continue the plot, bruh.
"Look who came back for that meat mountain, boy.
Oh, hell no.
You better run. man.
Bro, I'm trying.
Now, trying to run in your dreams. Man, this shit really pisses me off, bro. Because I never told anybody this, but I was the fastest kid in my elementary school. So when I'm dreaming and I got two hordes of zombies, Michael Myers, and fucking Diddy himself chasing after me, tell me why my ass starts running like the fastest kid in the special needs class, bro. So trying to run in your dreams has got to be C tier, right next to all the common shit like falling, drowning, losing your phone, explosive diarrhea all over your bed. Damn, bruh, shitting your pants, fever dreams, and being butt booty naked around a bunch of minors is C tier. What the hell is D tier, bruh?
Sleep paralysis.
This might be the scariest thing that can possibly exist, bruh.
You're telling me at 4 a.m. I could open my eyes, unable to move, while struggling to breathe, and start seeing demon shadow figures while hearing screams in the distance, bruh. Fucking Z-tier, bro. What the fuck?
Now I'm grateful I never had to experience that shit, because the fact that while you're paralyzed, you'll start to see the scariest thing your brain could possibly imagine is beyond me, bro. Knowing me, I'd be there enjoying my beauty sleep, dreaming of me and the boys playing fucking Mario Kart or some shit, and I would open my eyes stunned, unable to move, when slowly a devious creature begins revealing itself out of the closet, casting a shadow over top of me until I can see exactly what it is.
Looks like someone ordered a meat melon.
Man, smoking too much. Greening out. ODing on the devil's lettuce. Whatever you'd like to call it, many of us have been there at least once in our lifetime. And man, I'll be the first to say it is not fun. But I do actually have a funny story about my first time greening out. I mean, it's funny now, but when it happened, I was shitting myself. So this story dates way back when I was just a young jit. I was still in 8th grade. And man, don't ask me why, but it takes place on a Thursday, on a school night. Alright, so it's a Thursday at 7 p.m. My friends and I are just headed to this girl's house. We'll call her Mary. So when me and my friends arrive at Mary's house, I quickly find out her dad is pretty chill.
Yo, what's up?
And you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So we'll just say Mary was no stranger smoking some gas now and then. With that being said, I kinda was. I had only smoked a few times. And the times that I had smoked, it wasn't anything crazy. So walking into the Mary household, I could kinda tell we were gonna smoke. So we all just went to her room and talked for about 5 minutes until all my friends started smoking. And it was out of some strangely shaped water bottle I had never seen before. And listen, bro, it was a Thursday on a school night, so I wasn't really planning on smoking, right? But when you're in middle school, peer pressure just hits differently, bro. So there my dumbass was on a Thursday night using this weirdly shaped water bottle for the first time, knowing that I had a curfew of 9 o'clock, and I just instantly started coughing. I was definitely the least experienced out of all my friends, so I remember my homies were kinda helping me out, especially my homie Bob. Bob brought me some water and told me to let him know if it hits too hard. I told him, yeah, for sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm chilling, because it had already been a few minutes at this point, and it was safe to say I didn't feel anything. And after 10 minutes, I remember thinking, I bet I'm definitely good by now. I probably just didn't have enough to actually get me high. So shit, maybe I can make it back for my 9 o'clock curfew after all. That shit hit me like Mike Tyson in his prime, bro. I don't know why no one told me this new device would have me slumped like Nate Robinson, but it's already too late at this point. My vision started to get choppy. It's like I was running 30 frames per second in real life. And of course, the dry eye starts to kick in, and I just get really hot out of nowhere. And I guess at this point, Bob could just see the panic in my face. So Bob was like, come with me, and he brought me to the bathroom. And bro was prepared. He threw down a pillow and a blanket and was just like, you're gonna be alright, bro. And as he leaves me in the dark in the bathroom, I can hear from the other room, he's definitely greening out.
He's greening?
Nah, not Chains.
Nah, my boy.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace? Bro, am I about to die right now?
But to be honest, my brain was way too fried to even care. The effects were getting worse by the minute. And as I laid there in the dark on Mary's bathroom floor, I felt my soul leave my body. I was just flying around space and, you know, traveling through the galaxy and shit. But I'm brought back to life because I felt my phone buzzing. And when I woke back up, I had no clue where I was. And then when I looked in the mirror, who the fuck is this guy? Well, I was out here putting the pieces together, trying to figure out who I am. Bob hits me with another, come with me. I got a ride so we can get you back home. But you have to act normal, okay? Okay, just get in the car. It was his older sister driving. And when I got in the car, I was stressing. Act cool, bro. Act cool. Hi, how are you? I'm not high. Fuck, she knows. And the rest of the ride was just pretty much silent. I got out of the car and I stumbled all the way over to the front door. At this point, I was praying my mom was asleep. So I called my brother to open the front door.
What's up?
Door. At this point, I'm malfunctioning. I'm trying to explain what is happening to my brother, and it pretty much just went like this.
Bro, is mom awake? Bro.
Holy, you're gone, bruh. I'm sorry, but this is the only way. Huh? What the hell, bruh? I'm not gonna lie, the smack low-key woke me up a little bit. But still, I was way too big to be saved. But at least mom isn't awake.
Chains, get up here right now.
I'm fucked. The jig is up, bro. I slowly walk up the stairs to my inevitable doom. Still high off my ass, I walk into my mom's room and seal my fate. Yeah, bro, I got grounded for a year and a half. And when I woke up to go to school the next day, I was still baked as hell.
First dates have the potential to be magical, fantastical, romantical, a night you will never forget. But they also got the potential to be straight booty. I mean, first dates are just a gamble, bro, especially if it's from a dating app. Like, you could show up to your first date with a 5'4 blonde Tinder girl and end up finding out she's 5'9. And she's brunette. And she's a dude. I mean, first dates from dating apps is kind of like buying one of those SpongeBob popsicles from an ice cream truck. Like, you know it's not gonna look the same as the advertisement, but the question is, how fucked up can it really be? And let me just say, extremely fucked up. I'm talking massive buck teeth, eyes crossed with a bite taken out of it, and I'm not talking about the popsicles. And these are the exact reasons my very first date was not from Tinder. Also because I was in grade 7. And that would be illegal. And when I was in grade 7, I was 12, as most grade 7s were. And for whatever reason, me and my homies loved going to the mall after school. Which was weird, cause we had no money. So after another successful day of walking around and being too broke to buy anything, we walked back to the bus terminal by the mall, and as we walked up to our bus stop, we see these two girls waiting there. And the closer we got, the more familiar these girls started looking until we realized one of them was in our class. And so we walk up to them like, yo, are you Kate? Oh shit, Billy, Bob, and Chains. What's up? Oh, nothing much. How are you guys doing? Oh, I'm good. This is Jessica. She's new to our school. Hi. What's up?
Hello, Jessica.
What brings you guys to the mall?
Oh, nothing much. Just walking around and not buying anything because we don't have any money.
Yo, us too!
And so we all get on the bus and we're just talking and shit for a good 20 minutes until my stop comes up. So I pull the thingy, but before I get off the bus, I ask Jessica,
yo, Jessica, do you Snapchat by any chance?
Yeah, I do. Let me add you. What's your Snap name?
And I remember I had some shitty ass username, like, oh shit, it's MLG Pro No Scoper Illuminati Confirmed.
Yo, kid, get the fuck off the bus.
Sorry, one second, please. Where was I? MLG Pro No Scoper Illuminati Confirmed. And when I got home, I went on Snapchat, accepted a request, and we started talking. And we snapped all night to the point I was smiling, kicking my feet in the air and shit.
Yo, I'm coming in.
No, wait, don't. I'm beating my meat. Wait, shit.
Yo, what boy has you smiling like that?
Boy?
It's a girl.
Man, shut the fuck up. Oh,
Oh, shit, you're serious?
Wait, so the whole time you were watching Powerpuff Girls?
It just had a good plot.
Okay, bro. Okay, so this is what you gotta know. And my brother started running me through the do's and don'ts of being in a talking stage.
All right, listen. Don't text her too much, but don't text her too little. Don't talk to too many other girls.
Yep, nope. That won't be a problem right there.
Yep, I know, buddy. And you also gotta talk to her at school.
So the next day at lunch, Bob, Billy, and I walk over to Jessica and her two friends, and we start talking again, and we make plans to go to the mall together. And boom, all of a sudden we started forming a little friend group. It was me, Bob, and Billy with Jessica, Kate, and Nikki. And we started hanging out damn near every day, hitting the mall, buying nothing, going to Nikki's house, doing nothing. But we had fun, and so inevitably, Bob and Kate start having a thing, Billy and Nikki start having a thing, and that just left me and Jessica. And so one late night, we're on Snapchat with my feet kicking in the air faster than ever, and Jessica hits me with a, "So, I've been thinking, well, I like you.
I like you back.
So..."
And I typed up, "Do you want to be my girlfriend?" I fucking threw my phone across the room, nervous as hell. I get the notification, and when I go to check what she said, she was like, "Yes, I do. And call me Josh Giddy," the way I just bagged this 12-year-old. But the next day at school, when me, Billy, and Bob walk up to our girlfriends, I started getting all nervous and shit. There was something about the title of being a boyfriend that just had me shitting bricks, bro. It was like,
"Hey, Chains, how are you?"
"Oh, you know, I'm good."
How are you?"
"Oh, I'm good." But now that all three of the boys had acquired girlfriends, Billy was like, "Hey, why don't we all see a movie this weekend? Like it'll be a triple date."
"Yeah, that's a great idea."
Yeah, let's do it. It's a date. Triple date. Yeah.
Fuck, yeah.
And by the time the weekend rolled around, I was still terrified of the fact that I was going on a date, and to be honest, I was also scared of the movie, bro. We came to watch It, which as a 12-year-old sounded like straight nightmare fuel, bro. But nonetheless, me, Bob, and Billy hop on the bus and arrive at the movie theater fashionably late. And so when we walked through the doors, there was our three little girlfriends excited for our first dates. So we all walk up, hug, and then go to get our tickets. And I dropped my entire life savings on her ticket and then go into debt for mine, but nonetheless, we head to the theater.
"Wait, should we get popcorn?"
"Oh yeah, of course.
Hey man, how much is a large popcorn?"
"Large popcorn, that'll be $10.
Damn!
What happened? Are you okay?"
"Yeah, I just realized they ran out of popcorn."
Are you fucking stupid?"
"Yeah, no, don't worry. Thank you, man. Is it no problem? Have a good day."
And we got to our seats and sat down, and the movie began. And as the movie progressed, I realized it wasn't even too scary, but about 20 minutes deep, I get a tap on my shoulder from Bob. And he gestures to me the fact that him and Kate are holding hands. And I look over to Billy and Nikki, and they're all cuddled up and shit. Which meant I had to make a move, bro, which inconveniently made my hands start sweating bullets. So now I was in a position where I couldn't just grab her hand while my shit was sweaty as hell, cause then she'd think I'm weird. But then I also couldn't just sit there and do nothing the whole time, cause then she'd also think I'm weird. So I just started doing the only thing I could think of, which was blowing on my hand like some hot soup, and believe it or not, made me look fucking weird. But at least my hand was dry, so I go and hold her hand, but when I do, I make a grave mistake. A tactical error, bro. When I held her hand, my hand was on top and hers was underneath against the armrest, and my dumbass was scared I was gonna crush her arm or some shit. And I don't know where I got the idea that I even could crush her arm from, bro, cause those 12-year-old stickman arms couldn't crush a fucking pretzel if they tried. But for whatever reason, I decided my best option would be to hover my arm slightly above hers so my 1-pound arm couldn't come down and fucking demolish her forearm. And you know, this was cool for about 60 seconds until I started feeling the burn, which started hurting so bad that I forgot I was even watching a movie. I was just 100% focused on thugging this shit out. And about an hour into the movie, I was just fucking shaking relentlessly. I mean, at this point, it wasn't even about not having this girl think I was weird, cause Lord knows it was too late for that shit. But now it was about proving to myself that I could finish the movie this way, and sure enough, I did. But at what cost?
Wow, you were so scared you were shaking, huh?
No, I wasn't scared at all, actually.
Oh my god,
Are you sweating?
No.
So, you know, looking back, it wasn't my best performance, you know what I'm saying? But with that being said, after that triple date, Billy's girlfriend Nikki ended up breaking up with him and gave up on dating dudes as a whole. So, I mean, it could always be worse, bro.
Man, the very moment my stickman lips graze the tip of that sweet, sweet Zaza, it's wraps for all the food in the fridge. And as soon as that THC tickles my brain, it's GG's. The food in my closet is already consumed, bruh. And shit, when I run out of food in the crib, I give my condolences to the local McDonald's workers, cause man, I'm about to have those motherfuckers working overtime. Now listen, man, shout out to all my big homies out there, but I'ma make it clear real quick that I am not one of y'all. In fact, I make sure that I am precisely 64 pixels wide at all times. However, I will say, mentally and in my heart, I am a little bit of an EDP-445. Wait. No. I like food. What I was trying to say is that I like food, and usually I can resist food, but once that devil's lettuce gets a hold of my brain, I become a certified fat ass. I'm talking 750 pixels wide at least. I'm eating anything in sight, and as soon as I run out of food, I go to a new site and eat everything in sight again. And honestly, this shit is becoming a problem, bro.
No shit, buddy, your arteries are clogging.
Yeah.
And your blood pressure is through the roof.
Yeah, that too.
And you're developing type 7 diabetes.
Whoa, type 7? I thought there was only two types.
There was, until your fat ass decided to eat 87 ice cream sandwiches. How the fuck do you stomach 87 ice cream sandwiches?
Anyways, man, the munchies are lit, bro, because it's the only time you can truly taste each individual atom as it hits your tongue. Like, eating some good food while high is like a meditation, bro. Like, when you're zooted munching on some Doritos and you start closing your eyes, shit, you might just fuck around and become the Dorito. Now, this happens to me on a routinely basis, and as heavenly as that experience is, I must warn you, when you come out of your Dorito coma, you will be at least 5 bags deep in that motherfucker, and your hands may never be the same. Man, I'm still trying to recover to this day. Yeah, my Doritos still taste like fingers, bro. And if staining my fingers orange and developing a new type of diabetes sounds bad, my munchies addiction gets worse, bro. Because when you combine the zooted desire for food with the distorted judgment of the baked brain, shit, that's the perfect equation to put me into crippling debt. Especially back in the day, because as a youngin', the only thing I was cooking was my brain cells, bruh. So that meant I had to buy food. And to put it into simpleton terms, well, I was broke as shit. I remember one hot sunny day, me and the boys were chilling at a carnival with some of our other boys, and one of those boys whips out his dap pen. And so of course everyone flocks around that dude and chiefs the fuck out of his dap pen, and 15 minutes later, that shit hit. But you know what hit even harder? The goddamn munchies. And so there I was, walking around the carnival, absolutely blasted, with $50 to my name, looking for something to eat. And don't get me wrong, the carnival had lots of options, but they were really taxing out here, and for a dude with 50 bones to his name, I needed to find the most bang for my buck. And there I saw it. It was beautiful. A pink ice cream truck glistening in the summer sun. So you know I had to hop in line, and as I'm waiting in this line, the dude in front of me turns around and he's like, damn, bro, you look high as giraffe balls, dude. What? Me? Nah, what? Me? No.
Hey, don't worry, dude.
I am too.
Oh, shit.
So me and my newfound homie are just chopping it up, talking about how sensational this ice cream is about to be, and soon enough, it was the homie's turn to order. Yo, dude, let me borrow one of those cookie dough ice cream cones. Alrighty, here you go. That'll be $12.
$12, bro? That's like half my net worth. Trust me, it's worth it, dude.
Yo, let me get a cookie cone. Alright, cookies and cream, here you go. And as I licked that thing, man, that shit was sensational as fuck. But as I turned around, I seen the baked homie step into a pothole and absolutely fumble his ice cream cone. And I'm not gonna lie, that was some of the saddest shit I ever seen. So I go walk over to give him some of mine. Hey man, you want some cookies and cream?
Oh shit, thank you, man.
Bro,
Did you just drop both of our $12 ice cream cones? Fuck. Then we were back in line like nothing ever happened. But man, waiting in that sun, my mouth was parched and my eyes were dry. And by the time we made it to the end of the line, I was looking like dried up SpongeBob, bro. Hey, it's you again.
Can I get the cookie cone, the cream, the one with the cream?
Yeah.
And at last, after dropping half my net worth on ice cream, I took a big bite of that ice cream cone and man, I felt every sugar granule, every atom, every proton and electron contained within that bite. And for the time being, the munchies were cured.
Listen, I am no criminal. In fact, I would consider myself a good Samaritan. Type of dude who helps grandmas cross the street. Type of dude who might even pick up some trash now and then. And absolutely not the type of dude to go to jail. Now, I know for a fact I would never go to jail. Not because I never break the law, but because I'm fast as fuck. In the streets, they used to call me Usain Jr., bro. So there was no way you would catch me getting arrested by some 50-year-old man with a beer belly and a donut in his hand. I would be out here crossing, bro, up. Hit him with a little body feint, leave him in the ER, bro. But with that being said, I needed that speed. I needed that speed to get out of all the dumbass situations I put myself in. Cause I'm still no valedictorian, but back in grade 9, I was nominated stupidest dumbass, and all the runner-ups were my homies. So evidently we had some stupid ass ideas. Like I remember this one time we were all looking for something to do. And if you're from a small boring city like mine, you would know there's not many fun things to do besides smoke and break the law. So what did we do? We smoked. And then we broke the law. This story takes place at Billy's crib. So it's just me, Billy, and Bob. We're chilling playing PlayStation or whatever. And Billy's like, damn, I'm bored as hell. We should go do something. Yeah, facts. What's something fun we could do? Shit, we could have some girls over. We got no hoes, bruh. Holeless. Shit, I forgot about that. I mean, we could get some food. You got money? You're broke, bitch. Damn, you right. Wait, we could smoke. You got grass? Yeah, I do actually. Oh shit, bet. So we all go outside, roll up the grass, and get baked. Then we go back inside and hop back on the PlayStation. Damn, I'm low-key still bored. Yeah, let's have some girls. You still have no hoes, bro. Fuck. I mean, we could have a bonfire. Oh shit, that's not a bad idea. Genius. So you think this is a good place? Nah, it's too out in the open. What about here? Nah, it's too close to the school. What about here? Oh shit, this is kinda nice. So we were looking around, we gathered up the best sticks to build the fire, and we set them up quite nicely. We lathered those bad boys in some gasoline, and apparently my high ass didn't know how fire and gas worked. So I leaned over the fire, and when I go to light it, for a second my life flashed before my eyes. So I quickly jumped back, but my friends and I are baked to perfection. So they're like, yo, dude, are you good? Yeah, man, I think so. Are my eyebrows still there? You never had eyebrows. Oh, okay. So we're all just staring at the fire in silence, thinking about random things. Damn, I need me a 4-piece Popeyes combo right now. The meaning of life, it must be to evolve and become the best person you can be. God damn. Bob's mom is so hot. And as we're just chilling, watching the fire, it was pretty much sending out a smoke signal, and anyone in the vicinity probably saw it. And soon we started hearing a siren in the distance. Guys, it's definitely just an ambulance. I mean, it's getting kinda loud, don't you think? No, we're chilling. Fuck, bro, I'm outta here. Yeah, I'm way too high for this right now. So Billy and Bob just leave, and I'm thinking, they're just being some scaredy cats. They're gonna come back. It's literally just an ambulance. Right? Man, it's getting kinda close. Oh shit, they're definitely coming for me. And then the siren just stops. Oh, I guess they're not coming for me. And then I look behind me, and I make direct eye contact with two officers. My heart literally stopped. Oh, you're fucked. Hey, I grabbed the gas and the gas, and with all the adrenaline I had, I literally jumped on the fire, stomped it out, and hauled ass. Hey, get back here! I'm being chased by these two cops, and I am red-handed as fuck. I mean, I'm holding a liter of gasoline, a lighter, and the kush while I'm baked as hell running from these cops. And they were on my ass, bro, because let's be real, I could have outrun these fat asses any day of the week, but I'm at a major disadvantage here. Like, I have to run carrying the can of gas while I'm zooted, bro. So sheer speed was not gonna do it, but I had to get them off my tail, or else I was going to jail. So I take a sharp right, and then I'm faced with these two paths. I hit a quick left, and as soon as I get out of their sight, I slide into these bushes smooth as butter, and I was scared shitless. Man, I can't go to jail. I dropped the soap way too much for all that. Holy shit, they're right there. Where'd he go? We almost had him. And we would have had him too if your fat ass didn't eat so many damn donuts. Shut up, Robert. That's why Dave fucked your wife. As soon as it was clear, I booked it straight to Billy's house. Oh, guys, it wasn't an ambulance. No shit. And I think it's safe to say I was paranoid for the rest of the night. Yo, I really appreciate you guys, so I'm gonna be following back a bunch of people on my Instagram, so go check it out. Peace.
Skipping class in high school is a slippery slope. Like, one day you can skip and it'll slide no problem. Like,
oh, hey buddy, welcome back. We missed you.
Yeah. You skip 2 days, you're chilling.
Hey, look who's back.
Yeah. But when you go to class after skipping 3 days, all of a sudden shit is serious.
Chains, what? Why haven't you been here, huh?
Well, you know, it was some family stuff.
Oh, yeah, family stuff. What family stuff?
Well, I don't really want to talk about
what family stuff.
It was my grandma's funeral.
Damn. But that is no reason to miss a test.
And Lord forbid, if you miss a whole week, the school board turns into the FBI. Like, during the whole pandemic, one of my homies refused to go to any online classes. And one day, he was enjoying his extended vacation while smoking up outside his crib. Next thing he knows, he's making direct eye contact with his science teacher while smoking grass. And because they started going FBI mode when you skip your classes, the homies discovered a top secret method so we could skip classes with zero consequences. So, when you would skip a class, the teachers would instantly hop on their laptops and whip up an email along the lines of,
Mrs. For Real, are you aware that your son, Chains, has missed his science class today? If this is continued, Chains' grade will continue to drop, which might ultimately lead to him failing my class. Mr. Perkinson.
Now, Mr. Perkinson would write these emails with the hopes of my mom reading them and then beating my ass. When it really went like, my mom would read it and she would politely ask me how my science class was today, I would cap my ass off and then she would proceed to beat my ass. And one day after I got my shit whooped, I was talking to the homie Bob.
Yo, we're going to Chipotle next class. You trying to come?
Man, I don't know. I'm getting real tired of these ass whoopings, bro.
Ass whoopings? You're getting ass whoopings?
Yeah, bro. Mr. Perk never fails to type up an email that results in the leather belt.
Oh, what? Nobody ever told you about the secret method?
Secret method?
You mean like wearing extra pants so the belt doesn't hit so hard?
No, I'm talking about the secret method so Mr. Perkinson's can't email your mom.
Why didn't you tell me sooner, bro?
So essentially, the method starts at the very beginning of the school year. At my school, they would give you this form with your parents' email, phone number, all the contact information, you know what I'm saying? You would need this form filled out and signed by a parent or guardian and then handed into the office. However, this man, Bob, conceptualized one of the greatest plans of our generation. And it went like this. So you would receive the empty form from the school, take it home to your parent/guardian,
get that shit filled out and get that signature. Then secretly, when nobody is watching, you hop on your computer, you make a fake email like bobsmom123@gmail.com. Then you would change your mom's contact information into that fake ass email and then deliver it to the office like nothing happened. So when Mr. Parkinson's smartass tries to get me whooped with one of those emails, I get that shit in my inbox. I read it through and respond with some shit like, "Dear Mr. Parkinson's, thank you very much for bringing this to my attention. I was unaware of my son's absence in pursuing his educational prowess. I will discipline him with a punishment that may or may not involve me whooping the absolute shit out of his tushy. Thank you, Mr. Parkinson's." And I already know this dude, Mr. Parkinson's, was reading that email like, "Oh, yup, he is definitely getting his ass beat tonight." Meanwhile, I was typing that shit up in bed while munching on some nachos. So you best believe I was abusing this newly found secret strategy. I mean, I was missing every other class. And it was just all sunshine and rainbows. But you know what they say, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. I mean, I really don't recommend using this strategy, and I'm not saying that to be some mature role model. I say that because there was one flaw in the strategy Bob forgot to tell me, and that was as soon as my mom saw my report card with all those absences, god damn, she made up for every single beating I missed.
Every single person will have a different experience when they get high. And even the same person can have different experiences each time. It can depend on many things, like the strain of the grass, the environment you're in, and overall the type of person you are. But with that being said, I do know some of the most common types of people when they're high. Starting with Paranoid Peter. Paranoid Peter will take a few hits and his brain will go on overdrive, imagining the worst scenario he could possibly be in. And he'll just slowly convince himself that it's real.
"Hey, how you doing?"
Shit, he knows I'm high. He probably knows that I jaywalked last week too. Fuck, I'm going to jail for life.
"Buddy, are you okay?"
"Fine, I'm high as hell and I illegally crossed the road last week." Next up, we got Mary with the munchies. Mary will get zooted and go ham on all the food in the vicinity. She'll have DoorDash, Skip the Dishes, Uber Eats knocking on her door like they're the IRS or something. But I'm not gonna lie, I know we've all been there. No, not with the IRS, I'm talking about the munchies. Because food when you're high simply hits different. You go from just chewing, swallowing, and digesting your food to dissecting and distinguishing each particular particle of that food. And I don't know why, but your brain never tells you if you're full. So you can just eat food infinitely. Next, we got Chill Charlie. Chill Charlie is just so laid back. Once this dude takes a puff, he is just nonchalant. And nothing in the world can make this man start chalanting.
"Charlie, they found the kids in our basement."
"Chill out, dude. It's all gonna be alright."
"Hey, hands behind your back."
"Yo, calm down. Why are you so aggressive?" And of course, we got Sleepy Sam. You see, Sleepy Sam has had a long day at work. He decides what would be a better way to end the day than to light up some Bubba Kush. We can't forget about George with the giggles, man. George just be laughing at anything when he's high. And it's the best when you get two high Georges in a room. You could hit George with some devastating news, and there's nothing he can do but laugh. "George, I'm so sorry, man. I just crashed your new Bugatti." Honestly, at this point, literally anything can make him laugh. Okay, maybe not anything. Next up, we got Mumbling Martin. Some motherfuckers just be smoking and start to think they're Cardi or something. Like, after a few hits, they start to invent a whole new language.
"Dance, let dick get be hit, man."
Wait, what?
"I said dick get be hit, man."
Can you just speak up a little bit?
"You can't hold me. You can't.
Can't tell me. Speak up.
And man, we all know a coughing Carl. Yeah, yeah, bro. Can you pass me that grass?
God damn. God bless America.
We got sober Sophia. Yo, Sophia, take a hit.
No.
And what about immobilized Eric? I don't know if any of y'all have experienced this before, but sometimes Eric be smoking a little too much, and it's like his controller just disconnects. Like, wherever he smokes, he will be there in the same position for the whole night. Yo, yo bro, we're going home. Ain't no way Eric is still here, bruh. There has to be some sort of brain muscle disconnect when he smokes. Because you could 360 roundhouse this motherfucker and he would still be chilling in the same spot he smoked. That is, until the effect just wears off. And we got Philosopher Phil. Listen, I don't know what Phil smokes, but whatever it is, it seems to rewire his brain and turn him into a modern Aristotle. If a time machine is ever made in the future, then it has always existed. Yeah, bro, I never thought about it like that. How can you prove to me that you even exist? I don't know, I just... Was math discovered? Or was it created? Created... Wait. No, discovered... Are we a body with a mind, or just a mind with a body? Hey, bro, I'm way too high for this shit.
Yo, Chains, I'll pay you $5 if you pull that fire alarm right there.
Oh.
Yo, run.
Chains, do you know why I've called you into my office today? No. You see, that little stunt you pulled has led you to a 1-week suspension.
God damn it. What does suspension mean?
It means for the next week you are prohibited from coming to school.
Fuck. What does prohibited mean?
Chains, you can't come to school for the next week.
Hold up, so you're telling me because I pulled the fire alarm, I don't have to go to school for a week?
Yes, it's a suspension. You are...
Man, I got a love-hate relationship when it comes to getting suspended from school. Like, on one hand, shit, you just don't have to go to school. But on the other hand...
Suspended? Oh, I'm about to suspend that ass. Ah, fuck. Ow.
Alright, I don't recommend getting suspended. That shit is not worth it. But how do I know? This story dates way, way, way back to grade 7. It was a cold winter day at Stickman Middle School. In fact, it was freezing cold, and this gave Billy a great idea. Yo, the pond behind the school is frozen. Let's go fuck around on it. Oh, I'm down.
Okay, bet.
So after school, we got a group of 5 homies, and we headed over to the frozen pond. Now, to paint the picture, behind Stickman Middle School was Stickman Elementary School, and behind Stickman Elementary School was this frozen pond, meaning we had to walk through Stickman Elementary School to get to this pond. But nonetheless, we walk up to the pond and instantly I see this big red sign that says, "Hazard, do not step on ice." Guys, the sign says do not step on ice.
Man, what the sign? Watch this.
Oh shit, look, it's sturdy as fuck.
Yo, fuck.
And even though Billy's dumbass fell in, the ice was actually pretty sturdy. So you know, we're gliding around, eating shit, hitting the meanest ballerina spins you've ever seen, and eating shit. And we were having some good old harmless fun. In fact, our grade 7 selves were having the time of our lives on this frozen water. That is until... Oh, what do you guys think you're doing?
We were just walking on the ice.
Did you guys not see the sign?
What sign?
I could have swore I put a sign right here.
Nope, no sign at all.
There was no sign. Yeah,
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Okay, but you guys have to get off the ice.
Well, why? Nobody's getting hurt.
Yeah, we're safe.
Okay, it's your choice. You're gonna regret this.
So we continued with our ice skating antics for approximately 10 more minutes. Until the same lady came back up to the pond, but this time she was equipped with a Sony Alpha A7 mirrorless digital camera with the Extendo lens. In other words, she was quite literally about to catch us in 4K. But at least she doesn't know what school we go to. Hey, what school do you guys go to?
Not Stickman Middle School.
Absolutely not.
No, definitely not.
Fuck, she knows. We had to think quick. How are we gonna smoothly get out of this situation without getting in trouble? So we called a boys' emergency meeting. We huddled up and discussed our best plans to get out of this situation. And after combining all of our genius grade 7 brains, we made the ultimate plan. If we started mooning the camera, it would then be illegal for her to take pictures of our middle school cheeks. I don't know how this became our best option, but regardless, we put the plan in motion. I mean, me personally, I got a little shy and kept my pants up, but some of the boys were out there going crazy, looking more caked up than Summer Rae. And after a little while, the lady must have decided it wasn't a great look to have a camera pointed at some 12-year-old cheeks, and she left. Which means the plan had worked. Flawlessly. Now the next day at school, I had completely forgot about it, to be honest. But strangely enough, while I was sitting in math class, I hear the little class phone start ringing. Hello? Oh yes, he's here. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll send him your way. Thank you. Chains, Mr. Principal wants to talk to you. And at this point, I should have picked up on why I was being called to the office, but I had complete faith in our foolproof plan of mooning this stranger that the thought of being in trouble didn't even cross my mind. That was until I walked into the office to see every single one of the boys sitting in Mr. Principal's office. But Mama didn't raise a snitch, so we started capping our asses off.
So, what did you guys do after school yesterday?
Nothing.
I played Fortnite.
I was doing a homework.
Don't play stupid with me. I got a call from Mrs. Principal over at Stickman Elementary. So tell me. What were you doing on the pond yesterday?
I wasn't there.
It wasn't us.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what a pond is.
I see. Well, I've got evidence.
And as he shows us this undeniable evidence, you can see this dude Billy's cheeks in the corner of one of the pictures. So I slowly look over at Billy, and he looks over at me.
If you don't stop laughing right now, you're all suspended. That's it. You're all suspended.
And as I explain the situation to my mom, let's just say Mama Chains was not happy.
Man, I don't know about y'all, but for me, having an older brother is like...
Yo, chin check!
Damn, bro, L chin, am I right? Nah, I got you a gift, though.
Damn, for real?
Yeah, open them up.
Oh, these are tough. Let me try them on.
Yup. You know what these are good for, bro?
Yeah, what is it?
Wedgies! I'm not gonna lie, bro, I still love having a big brother. Like, yeah, you get your ass beat bi-weekly. Yeah, these motherfuckers will steal your food, and they be frying your shit for no reason whatsoever.
Chains for real, not as Chipotle for real. Cause he's wrapped like a burrito.
Well, let's think about it, bro. What is the alternative? A big sister, bruh? Hell nah. These motherfuckers will force you to do your makeup and shit. Alright, yeah, pull the plug.
But it looks good.
Pull that shit. Like, pull the plug.
So I don't
pull
think we can do
plug.
That.
Pull the plug.
Are you serious,
bro? Man, pull the fucking plug. Like, having a brother's an interesting situation. Cause I would trust this motherfucker with my life. No questions asked. But I'm not trusting him with my Chipotle for a second, bro. Like, I was born with my very own number one hater and my number one supporter who just happens to have the same mom as me, bro. But listen, nowadays, I'm a grown-ass man. My brother, a grown-ass man. Now that we're both grown, we get along like PB&J.
Yo.
That's what I was about to say, bro.
For real, though. We get along like chicken
and waffles.
Okay.
Yes, sir, bro. We get along like salt and bit.
Nah, I don't get it, bro. I don't know. I don't know what you're trying to say.
Nah, I mean, what I'm trying to say is if I'm eating,
right.
Worried.
Oh, yeah. If he gets into a fight, we get into a fight. Yeah.
If someone reads my search history, we searched up Lola Bunny furry buns, looped up, shaking it wild
bro.
Style. Yeah.
Nah. What are you doing?
We didn't do that?
Fuck no.
Okay. Yep. No, that's fine. But a lot of shit has changed throughout the years, man. Back in the day, me and my brother were ops, bro, because this motherfucker's sole reason for living and breathing was to rage bait my ass. And I was like 5 years old, still figuring out who's milking the chocolate cows and shit. And big bros hit me with shit like,
yo, what's 9 plus 10?
It's 19.
Get a load of this dipshit.
Bro, it's literally 19. Man, what the fuck?
Hey, why are you so mad, bro?
Bro, you literally...
Tired, relax, bro. Just sit down, take a deep breath.
Who's a good boy?
Yeah, man,
who's
fuck. Now, me and my homies used to wrestle all the time, and my record was decent. We're talking like 50 and 10, and at the time, my signature go-to finisher move was the guillotine choke. It had seriously never let me down once until I tried that shit with Big Bro, and I started guillotining my ass beat, dog. My brother's 3 years older than me, so that shit was like a boss battle that you just don't have enough XP for, bruh. Like, when I would pull up on him, I hear boss battle music, my health bar pops up. I start unloading the clip on this motherfucker, but he's done beat my ass so many times. He's got my moveset memorized and shit, bro. Like, this motherfucker's the Picasso of beating my ass specifically. Like, every time I was getting folded like an omelet, folded like origami. I was getting folded like I was playing poker. The way he just dealt me these hands, bro. And maybe you're thinking, Big Bro got the strong genes, so I got the smart genes type shit. Nope, not. This motherfucker took those jeans too, bro, and he put them to use. Cause he used to manipulate the shit out of me, bro. Like, I remember one Halloween a long time ago when I was like 4, my mom came up to us with 2 costumes, right? One was Spider-Man with the fake muscles and everything, and the other was Shrek. It was Shrek. Yo, I call Spider-Man. No, but I want Spider-Man. Actually, you know what? I want Shrek, man. Shrek is cool as hell. Like, what'd he say? What are you doing in my swamp?
Wait, no, oh, I yeah. want Shrek.
Oh, you think he's supposed to be like Mike Wazowski or some shit?
I don't even know.
What are you doing in my swamp?
And this can't just be me, bro. But when we were younger, my brother would teach me some lingo or advanced intellectual informational shit. And I would go around school just spewing out words I don't even understand, bro.
Damn, what y'all got for lunch?
Shit, it's just a little PB&J.
That's savage. Yeah, yeet.
Yeah, man. I guess. I mean, my mom.
Okay, Bob, I see some pizza. YOLO.
Well, what about Bev's? Bev's, what are we saying?
I got some apple juice.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I love apple juice.
I don't.
Bro, what? Who doesn't love apple juice?
Yeah, well, it's because my brother says that juice has a secret society where all the juices, I'm talking apple, orange, fucking pineapple, get together and they control the bank.
Everybody's watching
shit.
Now, me and my brother would go at it, bro. It was a seemingly never-ending rivalry between us of me getting my ass beat, him beating my ass. Okay, maybe it wasn't a rivalry. Shit, I think I was getting bullied.
But one day when I was 7 years old, everything changed for both me and my brother when we got a stepsister, bro, because she was annoying as fuck. Her name was Alicia, and she was spoiled, bro. Every time she didn't have her way, she would just call up her pops, and it was raps for me and bro. Alicia was getting a princess treatment, and we were getting a fucking peasant treatment, dog. Like, let me tell you a story from my childhood, bro. I was 7 years old, and me and Alicia shared a small room, and it was split right down the middle. The left side was blue, Spider-Man bed, teddy bear, boy shit, right? And the right side was pink, Disney princess posters, Barbie dolls, all the girl shit. And one night, I was in Dreamland, counting sheep, having a wonderful time, and when I woke up, I realized I done pissed the bed, bro. Grown ass man at the big age of 6, pissing in the sheets. Hell nah. I was like, shit, man, I gotta get my act together, bro. So throughout that day, I drank a little bit less water, hopped into my cozy Spider-Man bed sheets, and went to sleep. And when I woke up, I done pissed the bed again, bruh. Fuck, man. 2 in a row, I gotta lock in, man. So that day, drank no fucking water. I was parched as hell, but I jumped into bed to finally have a nice, peaceful, dry sleep. And when I woke up, fucking soaked, dog. I went 3 for 3, bro. I was like the LeBron James of waterlogging the mattress.
Alright, bro, this shit's just getting ridiculous. So I go 2 days straight, no water, I'm fully dehydrated, there's not an ounce of water in my body. I finally go to sleep, but this time, I wake up to rustling, movement, my bed kinda shaking, I fully open my eyes.
Alicia just pissed on my bed, bro.
Yo, what the fuck?
Oh, hey, Chains. They will never believe you.
Bro, I hop off the DIY water mattress, run over to my mom's room, and you gotta think about how guilty and schizophrenic I sounded, bro.
Mom, Alicia is pissing on my bed. James, it's possible you wet your own bed while you were sleeping.
No, come here, look, she's probably doing it right now.
James. Alicia's dead asleep.
No, but every single day I wake up and there's just piss all over the Spidey blankets.
All right, Chains, what's next? Alicia's just gonna shit your pants too, bro?
And to this day, nobody believed me except
my motherfucking brother, bro, because he's a G. And when he realized how annoying a little sibling can actually be, he was like, shit, I low-key fuck with you, little bro.
Hey, I fuck with you too, twin.
So we started playing some Mario Kart together. He taught me how to play basketball. He introduced me to Minecraft. He even taught me how to make a YouTube channel. And as we got older, big bro got a car. And that shit felt like when Greg and Roderick finally started fucking with each other, bro. We were running around, hitting late-night Sevrons, eating straight Roderick-ass meals. We were in that bitch like,
brain freeze.
And ever since that day, my big brother's been like my second half, bro. My twin in him. Truly, I can say my big brother is my
vinegar, bro. It was salt and
vinegar. It was on the tip
Everybody
of my tongue, bro. How did
salt
I not
and
get
vinegar.
That?
What are you doing in my swamp?
As a broke stick man like myself, I spent my fair share of time on the bus. And if you spend a long enough time on the bus, you will see some weird ass shit. I mean, I remember my first time getting on the bus by myself. I was feeling strong and independent. Next thing I know, a crackhead sits down beside me talking about,
yabba dabba do. The world is ending and you're gonna die a painful and lonely death, buddy.
And just like that, I went from strong and independent to shitting my pants.
Yeah, bro, the bus is just something else. Like 1 in 10 people who enter the bus are straight gremlins, bro. I'm talking about the gremlins who know the perk is fake, but they still pop it. Now you just gotta sit next to this motherfucker for another 30 minutes while he tells you about the kids in his basement. But to be fair, these gremlins aren't even the worst part of the bus. The worst part of the bus is the energy. You walk in there and everyone just stops and looks at you like they're sizing you up or some shit. And you know who sizes you up the most? The fucking goddamn motherfucking bus driver, bro. These bus drivers are just eternally pissed off. Every time I would get off the bus, I would try and cheer bro up, but they're just like allergic to happiness or some shit. Hey, thank you. Have a great day, man.
Shut your ugly ass up, little boy. I already know you get no bitches with your big ass forehead, no drip having ass with your skinny ass arms. Boy, you're built like a stick man, bruh.
Damn. Hey, bro, there could really only be 2 reasons why these bus drivers are so mad all the time. Either they had a demon villain origin story where they were abandoned as a child and never shown any form of love until one day. In freshman year of high school, Timmy met Linda. Linda was kind, smart, beautiful, and she paid attention to Timmy when nobody else would. Timmy asked Linda to be his girlfriend, and she said yes. They dated all throughout high school, and they even got into the same university so they could be together forever. Until one day, when Timmy's world was flipped upside down. Timmy found out Tyrone had been laying some mean pipe on Linda this entire time. Everyone in Timmy's school made fun of him. Timmy could not let this slide. So he called out Tyrone to run the ones in front of the entire school. And without a single word, Tyrone winds up and hits Timmy with the meanest left hook any stick man had ever seen. Leaving Timmy slept, out cold, unconscious, in front of his classmates, his teachers, and even in front of Linda. Cause shit, if that happened to me,
I'd be just as mad as Timmy over here. Now, realistically, the only other reason these drivers are so constantly mad would be because the driver's seat secretly has a stick built in. You see, this would explain why the driver constantly has a stick up his ass. I mean, shit, you really can't even blame him for being mad. But still, I'm gonna blame them, cause I know these motherfuckers get pleasure whenever they see me running at full speed trying to make it to the bus stop in time, cause they start stepping on the gas.
Dumbass.
To be honest, there's nothing that leaves you more defeated than when you're sprinting to a bus stop, then that shit just cruises on by and everyone on the bus is laughing at you. Damn. Honestly, at that point, I just give up and go home. But it hits a little bit different when that bus is your only way home. And it was the last bus, cause it's 2 a.m. And now you gotta bunk up with the gremlins on the side of the street, all because that goddamn bus driver had a stick up his ass.
So, as I mentioned in my fast food video, I worked at a place called Jim Jorton's. Not to be confused with the popular Canadian establishment, Tim Hortons. With that being said, at the time I had already worked at Jimmy's for a year. And to be fair, I couldn't care less if I got fired. So one day I got booked for a night shift from 6 p.m. to 12 a.m. But that wasn't gonna stop me and the boys from smoking up beforehand. So we're all chilling at Bob's crib, and we all take a hit. We all ate some snacks. Listen, you know the drill. But then Bob asked, are you guys trying to watch some TV? Nah, I'm really just trying to fuck up these Doritos. Yeah, I could watch something. So Bob throws on the first thing that comes up. And I'm thinking, these nerds are trying to watch Dora. But literally 5 minutes later.
Do you see Swiper the Fox?
Yeah, he's in the bush. Yeah, you see him?
Where?
What, in the bush.
I don't see him.
He's right there.
Where?
Right behind you. Yes!
Swiper!
Oh, hell no! All of a sudden, I was invested. This show had me in a trance. We were banging out episode after episode, and when I go to check my phone, it's already 5:59. So I'm like, oh shit. I got work in 1 minute. So I run to my car. I wouldn't drive. Not because I'm baked as shit. I was just broke, bruh. I didn't have a car. I was working at Jim Jorton's. So I haul my ass over to the bus stop. Then I wait there as fast as I can. I get on the bus. Then I get off the bus. Then eventually I make it to Jim Jorton's. Needless to say, I was late as hell. And of course my manager had something to say about it. But shit, I was higher than gas prices right now, man.
You can't be coming in late like this.
Yeah.
Jonathan had to stay an extra 30 minutes to cover you. It is very unprofessional to show up late.
Are you even listening? What did I say then? For sure. Yeah. She definitely knew I was high as hell. But she couldn't fire me. Because honestly, nobody else wanted to work there. So I throw on the gym drip, hop on the drive-thru window. And I'm the type of dude whose brain just disintegrates when I'm high. So I was just chilling, you know, doing my thing. But all of a sudden, some guy comes through the drive-thru and tries to kill my vibe. Sir. Sir, hello? Do you have my food? Yeah, what do you want? Well, I just ordered some food back there and I... Bro, what do you think this is? McDonald's? Yeah, I'm gonna keep it a stack. Most of my brain cells were still at Bob's crib watching Dora. And I guess one of my coworkers noticed that. Yeah, you should just make the drinks. I'll be on drive-thru. Okay. Even though I didn't have to talk to people anymore, my brain still refused to start braining. Yo, Chains, chill. Wait, what? Looking back, I am really sorry for whoever ordered something that night. Because I wasn't even reading the orders. I was out here freestyling with the coffee. A little bit of this. Oh, yep, a little bit of that. Whole lot of this. Is this the black coffee? What is this, the black coffee? Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Then I went on my break. Alright, Chains, what do you want? Well, what do you guys have? Bro, you work here. Can I get, everything? Oh, everything bagel? Nah. Just everything. Jim Jorton's never hit so hard in my life. I was an hour into my 30-minute break demolishing a meal for five. Honestly, that day, I was probably one of the worst employees ever. But shit, I was having the time of my life. Wicka wicka. Until some Debbie Downer tried to kill my positive vibes. Hey, who made this coffee?
That'd be me.
I asked for a black coffee and got a cup full of sugar and cream.
Are you sure you didn't order that?
And boom, she went off. I can't believe this. This is a disgrace. This is outright disrespectful.
Let me talk to your manager right now.
And listen, I know not everyone's brain just disconnects when they get high. But for those of you who are anything like me, don't go to work high. If you want to keep your job. Wicka wicka.
Man, growing up, I was a great kid. I was a good kid. Man, growing up, I was a kid, bro. And as a kid, you hit a certain age where your own parents become your number one op. Like, hey, mom, can I go to this girl's house?
No.
Hey, mom, can I sleep over at Billy's crib?
No.
Hey, mom, can I go do crack under the bridge with my new friend Jorge?
Hey.
Hell no. Come on, all my friends are allowed to. Yeah. Okay, well, if all your friends jumped off a cliff, you're not just gonna... Now, to be fair, my mom wasn't the strictest parent out there. I mean, I've seen motherfuckers get the belt for speaking too loud, speaking too quiet, bro, for speaking at all. Like, one time, me and my friend wanted to have a sleepover, so homie went inside to go ask his mom, and he came out looking like he got a whooping from Prime Goku, bro.
Yo, what the fuck happened back there, man?
She said no to me, but... I think if you asked her, she would say yes.
Bro, are you fucking insane? I'm not asking her shit.
Like, I really can't complain, because some of my friends' parents were so strict, they had a fun limit, bro.
Yo, George, we're gonna hoop after school. You wanna pull up?
Damn, dude, I'd love to, but, man, I watched a movie yesterday.
Ah, okay. So do you wanna play basketball?
Dude, I want to, but my fun meter's maxed out, man. My mom won't let me leave the house till Monday.
Holy shit, fun meter maxed out for a week off a movie? Yo, what's this movie, bro?
Yeah, what? Yeah, no, it was good, man. It's called the VeggieTale movie.
Yo, George.
I feel bad for you, bro. Because don't get me wrong, I've seen a lot of kids with super strict parents turn out to be straight A students, go to good colleges, stay with a good crowd of people. But with that being said, a lot of these kids whose parents were too strict to let them watch fucking SpongeBob, they end up going to college and catching Krusty Krabs after letting a dude named Patrick explore their bikini bottom, bro. Nah, but for real, my mom was far from one of those parents. I mean, she was reasonable, but the thing was, all my friends were a year older than me. Now, mentally, we were all dumb as shit. But when you hit that 12, 13, 14-year-old age, that 1 year is the biggest difference, bro. Like, us doing shit together just didn't look right.
Yo, Bob, can you pass the zot? Yo, Billy, let me hit that.
Yo, pass me that shit, cuz.
And cuz of this, I wasn't allowed to do a lot of the shit that my friends were allowed to do. Like, these boys could stay up past 10:30 p.m. on a weekend. I could not. They could have a sleepover on a weeknight. I could not. They could all go to a girl's house without having to call her goddamn parents. I could not, bro. Cause have you ever pulled up to a function? Motherfuckers are drinking. Motherfuckers are doing drugs. And you gotta ask the host to speak to her parents?
Hey, Kelly. Hey, killer party you got here. By any chance, can my mom talk to your mom so I can stay and, like, turn up and shit?
Oh, shit.
And when you're 12 and all your friends can do shit that you can't do, you're left with just two options. You can either be a good kid, follow the rules, do your homework, eat your broccoli, or you could be a bad kid, break the rules, fuck your homework, and smoke that broccoli. And boy, did I make the wrong decision. I remember the first time my mom caught me lying was back when I was in grade 7. It was just an average Saturday posted up at Billy's crib.
Yo, y'all boys know Rosa?
Yeah, I know Rosa. What's up?
Bro, she's throwing a birthday party at her crib tonight.
Aw, shit, man. We about to get freaky deaky on
these hoes.
Boy,
I'm about to get so drunk I forget how to speak.
Yo, on God, bro. Dead ass. That's facts. For real. Hey, Mom. I'm just calling to remind you how much I love you.
Oh, I love you too, Chains.
What do you want?
So, me and my closest friends got invited to a small little get-together at my friend Rose's house. Can I go, please?
Let me talk to her parents.
Okay, now, I was actually friends with Rosa, but she was 2 years older than me. So, I swallow my pride and text Rosa some along the lines of,
hey, Rosa, my mom wants to talk to your mom before I can come.
And she's like,
aw, baby boy needs permission.
Fuck.
And then she sends me her mom's number. So, I connect my mom with Rosa's mom. My mom gives me the green light, but says, you have to be home at 10:30 p.m. sharp.
Say no more, Mom.
So me and my homies start getting fresh. We're all up in Billy's dad's expensive cologne collection. I take the coolest looking bottle. Little spray here, little spray there. Had me smelling like Tom Ford. Still looking like Thomas the Tank Engine. But after looking as fresh as possible, we head to Rosa's crib. So we hop on the bus, hop off the bus, walk up to her house, knock,
and the birthday girl opens the door.
Happy birthday!
Hey, Billy Bob and Chains, I was waiting for you guys.
Happy birthday, Rosa.
Oh, damn, Chains, you smell good.
Appreciate it. That's that Thomas Fordinson, you know what I mean? So Bob, Billy, and I go inside, and we...